Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we've been studying the book of Judges. This is the third Sunday that we have been looking at the life of Samson. And I've shared with the congregation previously that when I was a little kid, I thought Samson was just the greatest. I knew Jesus was greater, but of the non-Jesus people in the Bible, I was just enamored with Samson because he was so strong and he did such amazing things. And frankly, at age 13, I was very impressed that he seemed to be able to be involved with woman after woman, and it wasn't a problem. I mean, God went ahead and used him anyway. And I asked God at age 13 why Samson could do that, and I couldn't. And God answered my question, and I was embarrassed, and I moved on. But I'll tell you this. It didn't take a lot after that for me to recognize that Samson's not somebody you want to imitate. His path is not an example of moral greatness. So our text this morning is in Judges chapter 16, and this is the reading of God's word. One day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "Until now, you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again, she called to him,
Samson, the Philistines are upon you.
He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him,
How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength.
With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I've been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines,
Come back once more. He has told me everything.
So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called,
Samson, the Philistines are upon you.
He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, Bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes. Then Samson reached toward the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. Folks, there's no denying that we're living in strange times, but the current events are not a shock to God. He has prepared us with his word. That's why I'm wanting to encourage you to check out a book that I wrote, Living Well in Babylon. I'm offering this book right now at a discounted price of only $10, but it's for a limited time. These are 10 lessons from the book of Daniel that God impressed on my heart a number of years ago. The entire book of Daniel will continue to be relevant and current until Jesus returns and the end comes. But I hope that these lessons, based on the book of Daniel, will be a blessing to your life.
To get your copy of Living Well in Babylon, go to pastorwood.org and click on Books. Or call us at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Sometimes when I teach on this passage, I talk about the price of a haircut. Personally, I go to Sport Clips. They've asked me to recommend them. They don't offer any discount for that, but they do offer a senior discount, and I definitely qualify. I go there because even though they don't have famous stylists, they have a good price. Samson, on the other hand, paid an unimaginable price. He knew that his hair was never to be cut. And he also knew that you can't trust a Philistine woman to keep a secret. Because you remember the woman he was supposed to marry, that didn't work out so well because she gave away his secret about honey from the lion. This guy did some amazing things in his life. But his very life started out in an amazing way. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, we have the introduction, the wickedness of God's people, their oppression by the Philistines, and then God chooses to intervene. No record of their repentance at that point. No record that they cried out to the Lord at that point. But God, after a period of time, sent the angel of the Lord to bring a message of hope. A promised child is what Samson was. His mother was incapable of conceiving, unable to bear children. But the angel of the Lord said, you're not only going to conceive, you're going to give birth to a son, and God has a special plan for his life. Chapter 13, verse 5, he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. He wasn't going to accomplish the whole thing, wasn't going to get the full job done, but God was going to use this promised child to bring deliverance. We not only see a promised child in Samson, we see a pattern of sin in Samson. It begins with his pursuit of marriage to a Philistine pagan because he had heard her sing and she had the loveliest voice. Nope. Because he found out that she was actually seeking to know more about the God of Israel. Nope. It says he saw her and decided, I've got to have her. That's called lust. He was attracted by her looks. She was just to die for, so to speak. And so he told his parents, I've got to have her. They tried to dissuade him. He wouldn't listen. They go to make arrangements. And when he's going back for the wedding, he decides to stop off and see what had become of the lion that he had killed on the previous visit when they were trying to arrange the wedding. And in that dead carcass, he found that the bees had lived there long enough to make honey. And he scooped his hand into that carcass, got out some honey, tasted it, thought it was wonderful, got some more, and took back to his parents, not telling them where it was from. This was another sin. Leviticus 11, God's people had been told not to touch the carcasses, especially of unclean animals. Even if it had been a clean animal at this point, it wouldn't have been okay to touch. But, you know, that's just a Bible verse. It's just one of those little commands. That's not anything I need to be concerned about. There are a lot of people who feel that way about what God says. You know, well, it doesn't really apply to me. I know I'm okay. I know it's probably not the best thing to do, but I'm not going to tell my mom and dad where I got this. I'm just going to give them some because this tastes good. He spends the night with a prostitute at the start of this morning's chapter. Spent the night with a prostitute. Well, apparently it's no problem because after he did it, the Spirit of the Lord empowered him to carry off the city gates, which was not just an impressive feat of muscularity and fitness. This was a supernatural act. This wasn't a little garden gate in some Victorian cottage. This was the city gate of a place where the temple in that city was able to have 3,000 people on the roof. Okay? This was a big gate. He picked it up, pulled it out of the ground, and carried it up a long way. Only possible supernaturally. Why would God do that? More about that later. Then he falls in love later on with this woman, Delilah. She's begging him, tell me the secret of your strength. And when he tells her a lie, she tries it. And, you know, I mean, wouldn't you at that point say, I'm out of here. In fact, look again at what it says. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day. It wasn't for a few more hours. Day after day, until he was tired to death. Get out of town, fella. You're not supposed to be in this relationship to begin with. For all of his supernatural strength in some areas, this was a weak man. This was a man who could not say no to his own desires. And tragically, his tribe is legion. So, he kept pursuing the relationship with Delilah because he thought he could get away with it. To me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is verse 20. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. See, over and over and over and over, he'd done the wrong thing and he got away with it. He knew he shouldn't, but he did, and he got away with it. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, and didn't we do this, and didn't we do this? And we're talking about preaching, praying for the sick and having them recover, casting out demons. Sounds like a great person to have in the church. And the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Pastor, are you saying that Samson is in hell? No, I'm not. I've read the book of Hebrews. What I am saying is that don't think because God uses you in spite of your sin that your sin isn't sinful and that it isn't abhorrent to God and that it doesn't have consequences. So there's this pattern of sin, thinking he could get away with it. Promised child, for those of you who like alliteration, I've got a little for you today. A promised child, a pattern of sin, thirdly, a power beyond himself. Samson recognized that the source of his power was not his muscles. The source of his power was God. In chapter 15, verse 18, and chapter 16, verses 17 and 28, he makes it clear he knows that the source of his power is beyond himself. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's why he gets recognized over in the chapter of Hebrews. He had faith. But even though he recognized the source of his power, there is no indication anywhere that I can find in his story that he recognized the purpose of his power. He knew God was the one enabling him to do these things, but he never really understood that the reason was about the deliverance of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Now, he was beating up on the Philistines. God used his mistakes to put him in situations over and over again where he could bring a measure of freedom to the Israelites. But the fact is, for Samson, it was always about him. He was getting vengeance on various people who had done things that offended him and made him really angry. And so he went out and got vengeance. And then this made him really angry. So he went out and got vengeance. Here was a leader who ruled for 20 years and his whole focus was himself. How does this impact me? I say, I look at that and I say, shame on him. How clueless. But the fact of the matter is that's the default pattern for all of us. Unless we die daily to self, our approach to decisions will be based on self-interest. How's this going to impact me? Is this going to make me comfortable? Is this going to make me look good? Is this going to make me secure? We make our decisions not based on, Lord, what would you have me do, but based on, ah, that looks good. Oh, that person offended me. I mean, it's all about us. Well, even the people, the Israelites, didn't recognize the purpose of the power that was displayed in Samson's life. You remember the men of Judah? 3,000 of them come. Not to say, thank you so much, would you please be our ruler? Back in chapter 15, verse 11, 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? They didn't say thank you. They said, you've really messed us up. You've stirred things up. They were not grateful to have somebody who takes a stand against the enemies of their nation. They didn't want that. They wanted to keep the status quo and keep their masters happy. Don't stir things up. Don't say things that are offensive. Don't do that. We're going to have to hand you over to the enemy. And they did. They handed him over to the enemy. And God delivered him, and in the process, delivered them a little more. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. He didn't recognize that this wasn't about him. And the people he was rescuing didn't recognize that they were being rescued. They thought he was just stirring up trouble and putting their status quo at risk. And what lots and lots and lots of people want is just to keep the status quo. So we've got promised child, pattern of sin, a power beyond himself. But folks, as with all the stories in the Bible, the various characters are ultimately not the main character. The final point in my outline is a perfect God. A perfect God who uses imperfect people to accomplish his plan for our deliverance. Hebrews chapter 11 lists Samson as one of the heroes of faith, one of the ones who believed in God and was used by God to bring deliverance, and yet they did not experience the fullness of what we have in Christ Jesus. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. But every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so our focus needs to be on him. He is the one who lived a sinless life and died on the cross at the hands of wicked men in order to accomplish our salvation. It was bad people doing bad stuff, and God used it for good.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41abide. That's our toll-free number, 866-41abide, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.